So all three of today's readings really represent a preview of a coming attraction. And the coming attraction is Advent, okay? Because 2 weeks from today is the first Sunday of Advent. So what do these readings have to do with Advent? Well, Advent is a liturgical season that we set aside some time in which to, yes, we want to think about the first coming of Christ, which occurred a couple thousand years ago. But more importantly, we want to use that time to really think about the second coming of Christ and Judgment Day. And all three readings specifically talk about just that, the Day of Judgment, when Jesus will come again. I mean, in today's first reading from the prophet Malachi, we heard, "Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all the evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch." In the gospel, Jesus says, "All that you see here," and he's referring to the magnificent temple in Jerusalem, "the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." And both of these passages have always been interpreted by scripture scholars as prophecies of end times. Jesus is coming again and the judgment that's going to come with him. Now, I said all three readings refer to the coming of Christ. But you might be tempted to say, well, what does the second reading have to do with Judgment Day? I mean, to me, it sounds like Paul was simply criticizing some lazy Thessalonians who refused to work for a living. Well, see, but that's the problem with taking scripture out of context. So let's put that second reading back into context and try to figure out what St. Paul was really talking about. So 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were two letters that were written within just a few months of one another, about 50 AD, so about 15 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Paul's first visit to Thessalonica was short, but it was very successful. And he quickly founded what was a pretty fervent church. But because of his success, he made some enemies, and he was run out of town within a period of just a few weeks. And what he did then was he left behind a church that was filled with a group of kind of young in the faith believers with lots of questions about the second coming of Christ, perhaps not all that different than our catechumens and our candidates. So both 1st and 2nd Thessalonians then were written to answer either specific questions or to deal with specific problems associated with the Thessalonians not really understanding the second coming of Christ. 2 Thessalonians was written particularly to address the problem that the Christians in Thessalonica believed that Jesus was coming back, like, right now. So they quit their jobs, stopped working for a living, which on some level kind of makes sense, okay? I mean, if Jesus is really coming back at any moment, why plan ahead? I mean, if we know Jesus is coming back before dinner time, why go to work, okay? Now, of course, here we sit 2,000 years later, and it's easy for us to see that this approach is going to lead to some problems because Jesus did not return at the time of the misguided Thessalonians. Now, St. Paul knew that no one knows when Jesus will return, not then, not now. So what St. Paul is doing in the second reading, he's basically telling the Thessalonians, we do not know when Jesus is going to return. So go back to life as usual. Get back to living life as a Christian in this world. So today's second reading, like the first reading, and like the gospel, really challenge us to think about the coming, Jesus' second coming, and Judgment Day, which leads me to pose a question. When was the last time we gave any serious thought to Jesus' return and the implications of that return? I mean, we face a little different problem than the Thessalonians. It's been 2,000 years. No sign of Jesus. I mean, we might be tempted to approach the second coming as if, well, maybe it's not going to occur. Or if it does occur, it's going to be sometime long after I leave this earth. Well, brothers and sisters, to do that would be as foolish as the Thessalonians, but for a little different reason. Such an approach is not only misguided, it's dangerous, because it's a very high-stakes gamble with our souls in the balance. which is why the church in its wisdom gives us Advent. It's a season that reminds us that not only will the second coming happen, but it gives us an opportunity to reflect on, well, just where do we stand in terms of are we prepared or unprepared for that second coming? Now, most of us have some Advent practices that go beyond simply dealing with the chaos of getting ready for Christmas. Maybe we have an Advent wreath at our house, or maybe you have some special devotional reading that you like to do during Advent, or maybe you abstain from some simple pleasures like coffee or chocolate. And those are all good things. I mean, they can draw us closer to God, but I would suggest that in light of today's readings, we should seriously think about adding one more Advent practice. And that is, I'm going to challenge you to set aside 5 minutes of quiet time with God each day during Advent. And during the first 5 seconds of that 5 minutes, I would say to God, show me where I would be if Jesus came tomorrow and I was going to be judged. And then spend the next 4 minutes and 55 seconds in silence, just listening for an answer. Because I can promise you that if you approach this exercise seriously and regularly all through the Advent season, there will be an answer. I mean, our next big challenge then will be in deciding what to do when that answer comes.